player who managed to outsmart the DM every time. So I recently joined this homebrew campaign. Three people in the party besides me. Ranger Gal, Wizard Guy, and Barbarian Guy. Then there's me, Azamar Celestial Warlock. The party is at level 7 at the time this story occurs. We were on our merry way, adventuring about, suspecting nothing bad when suddenly phase spiders attack and manage, after some fighting, to drag us into a nearby river, which as it turns out was also a portal into the Feywild. The party finds itself in a spider-infested forest, and after dispatching the leftover phase spiders, we decide that it's best to just set the whole forest on fire, and hide in a rope-trick bunker while the fire rages. Once we emerge onto the desolate wasteland we created, we figured that the smart thing to do would be for me to use disguise self, to make myself look like I'm one of the medium-sized evil fae creatures, a satyr or something. The party, meanwhile, pretends to be tied up and to be led by me, as if they were my prisoners. This decision proved to be fortunate, as later, while looking for an exit out of the Feywild, we come across an Ettercap. The Ettercap calls out to me. I think they're quite a lot smarter in this homebrew setting than usually. And me, unable to speak any elven or fey language, signal to him that I can't talk. Then in common, explain to him that a witch stole my ability to speak anything but common because I slighted her. Deception roll 24. Good thing that this Ettercap apparently is able to speak common, and we talk for a bit. Turns out he was the one who sent the phase spiders in the first place, because apparently the group had killed his father in some previous quest, when I hadn't joined yet. The Ettercap is quite honorable about the whole situation, requesting that I trade my prisoners in for something. I think for a bit. My familiar, meanwhile, is sitting behind the wizard, ready to give him a sign to just fireball this spider boy, but I'm thinking that I can probably make this more interesting. Also, I really want a magic item. So I make the Ettercap the following proposal. I would like a rod of the Pact Keeper, because I need something to trade the witch to get my voice back, if I can't give her some human slaves. In reality, I think a rod of the Pact Keeper is just too good to pass up. I would like a safe passage out of the Feywild onto the Material Plane, to wherever I wish. The Ettercap agrees to my terms, and he drafts up a devil-esque Faustian bargain that is magically enforceable. The terms of the contract are as follows. The DM wrote this out for me. 1. The prisoners are to be handed over in a helpless state, or dead if necessary. 2. You take your leave without harming me or mine in any way. I tell him that I keep the prisoners on the material plane, until he delivers, at which point I will hand them to him. The pact is made. Over the rest of the session, I proceed to ruin this poor guy's whole career. We capture the Ettercap. I get the item and I fulfill the contract we made to the letter. For you at home, before reading on, take a quick think about how I did it. A+ if you figure it out. Here is what happened next. The Ettercap and his horrible flock of spiders give us safe passage to some magic ponds that act as exits from the Feywild. They transport you to wherever on the material plane you want to go. I chose the specific city we had visited before and took my prisoners with me. Once there, we take 2 rooms in the local tavern. I take one alone, while the rest of the party and my familiar take the other. Once the Ettercap comes to complete the trade, I let my familiar know, who then alerts the party. The party is to get ready and ambush the Ettercap the moment he enters their room. The plan goes off without even so much of a hitch. The Ettercap comes up to my room and hands me my shiny new magic wand. I, in order to fulfill my side of the bargain, point him at the door my party is waiting in, telling him that the prisoners are in there, have fun. Then I just walked away, my end of the deal held up. As the Fae enters the room, the divination wizard surprise round polymorphs the Ettercap into a pig, and the barbarian grapples him and stuffs him into a bag of holding. Meanwhile, I'm able to feel the magic of the contract tingling throughout my body, affirming that it has indeed been carried out satisfactory to whatever rules govern it. Now you will say, but hold up, the prisoners weren't in a helpless state at all. Well, dear reader, you are forgiven for your error. You see, the city I decided to teleport to is a little place called Goodwell. Goodwell, earlier in the campaign, had not only been struck by a plague and was still reeling from that, it was also located in a very badly run, inept and declining monarchy besieged by undead. The city, and by extension the party, were located in a state that was by all intents and purposes helpless. To recall the contract, 1. The prisoners are to be handed over in a helpless state, or dead if necessary. The DM ruled that the letter of the law was sufficiently satisfied, and that the Fae had been thoroughly outsmarted. And thus I walked down the dusty tavern corridor, twirling my newly acquired magical wand in my hand. The biggest SH-eating grin on my face that you can imagine. The muffled cries of an Ettercat being transformed into a pig fading behind me. Was this a brilliant maneuver or a shrewd manipulation of a DM's contract? Regardless, this player truly showed the value of reading between the lines in a Feywild deal. Moving on to our second piece, after sharing a story about a witty and cunning innovative creativity, not all inventions are always so much looking into the fine print. Sometimes they're about using advanced technology, like they do in science. Let me tell you about another time a player mixed science with D&D and totally impressed everyone with his creativity. Every dungeon master has their fair share of players they can never forget. Ones who annoy you so much, but in a good way, because they're genuinely so creative. Jerry was one such player I'll never forget. I just never met anyone like him throughout my DMing history. When I actually first met Jerry, I felt so weird. I say this because while most players introduce themselves by sharing their previous experiences, or favorite campaigns, or saying what class they prefer to play, Jerry somehow shot at me, "What's the science policy in this campaign?" I was genuinely confused as to what to even answer. I realized my work was even cut out for me. This guy wasn't your average player. I knew it right then, this guy was going to give me nightmares. Soon after, he became our party's alchemist. But in real life, Jerry was an engineer. And not just any engineer. He had a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering, and a master's in chemical engineering. Obviously, he had to be a geek, which made sure when Jerry played D&D, it wasn't just about magic and might, but also about mechanics and molecules and whatever, the usual engineering stuff. From our very first session, Jerry was clearly in a league of his own, way too smart for his own good. He sits me down and separates me, then asks me, "What are the limitations with my character making things?" Once again, I was confused, like most of the time I am when talking to him. I thought for like 12 minutes and asked him to make a deal with me. If you can make a convincing argument using in-game materials and real-world logic, then sure, I'll allow it. He obviously agreed, and our game was forever changed. A few sessions in, Jerry comes up with his first big idea. Drawing his crossbow in hand, he tells me, "I want to modify this," he said, "to increase the reload time." I foolishly asked him, "What do you have in mind?" Jerry had glitters in his eyes. He says, "A lever action. I want it, the whole mechanism." I blinked and obviously had no idea how it even works. "A what now? How would you even make that?" This engineer guy, Jerry already sketched a blueprint for it. The design detailed a forked lever that would seamlessly fit with his crossbow. By pushing the lever down and forward, he said, the string would reset, ready to fire again. As much as I was annoyed to check the whole design, I was still happy and impressed by the simplicity and brilliance of his idea. Setting a fair price in gold and in-game time for this innovation, Jerry got to work, as soon as crossbow became the envy of many. Everyone wanted it, even me. Yet Jerry's innovations didn't stop there. During a downtime session, Jerry now eyed our paladin, a green dragonborn with his engineering eyes. Since the paladin had a particularly potent breath attack, he pitched the idea of converting the paladin's breath attack into throwable poison gas grenades. I laughed and, like always, asked him, knowing full well he probably has another blueprint ready. "And how would you do that?" With his methodical precision, Jerry went on explaining on and on how he'd have the paladin collect his breath attack into jars, then have like a ray of frost to supercool the collected gas. He then says, this would turn the poison gas into a liquid. When you break the jar, the liquid would evaporate into gas, releasing it as a full grenade. Like every time before, I was annoyed and impressed both. Even if I wanted to say no, I couldn't, because he made our paladin fall in love with his idea, and then they both made like a dozen of these weapons. This was not it. Jerry's piece de resistance actually came after a battle with a gelatinous cube. I pit the party against a gelatinous cube, which the party obviously ended defeating. No shocker there. As the party celebrated their victory, Jerry, always with a project in mind, came to me again asking for some of the creature's gel they won against. What did he want now? To build a battery. I almost spit out my drink. A what now? How the hell are you even supposed to make a battery? Jerry's science kicked in again. I did not even feel like asking how this time, but he still started explaining how using lead plates, copper wire, and the cube's acidic gel, he theorized how a chemical reaction could produce electricity. You're kidding, right? How would this work? Is all I could tell him, thinking, why can't we just use this to solve the real world's electricity problems? To prove his point, Jerry again showed me a diagram of a real-world marine AGM battery. I was speechless, realizing that with Jerry, the line between fiction and reality was indeed a fine one. 'Cause let's be serious, how can I even fault that logic? Over time, Jerry's innovations became legendary in our campaign, and I was looking forward to having a session with him again and again. Until then, he upgraded his crossbow into a taser gun, which once stunned a charging ogre in its tracks. He also built a windmill generator for his gel batteries to keep them charged. He even devised a complex communication system using the brains of slain illithids, creating a psionic telegraph of sorts. It almost felt like every NPC, every tavern bard, sang tales of our ingenious alchemist engineer. In another session, our party was trapped in a dungeon by an artificer. The walls started slowly closing in. Jerry quickly makes an explosive device using spare materials in his pack. The explosion not only halted the walls, but also created an escape route for the party. As our campaign continued, I realized Jerry wasn't just about inventing. He was so creative that he even made my other party members think more, making them try to make more of such strategies. It was a headache for me on how to make things work, but it was so fun. When our campaign ended, Jerry's character retired as a legendary inventor. The only sigh of relief I had was when Jerry didn't decide to make a flamethrower from a red dragon fundamentum. But then again, given more time, who knows what he would have come up with. Looking back, Jerry was the sort of player every DM both dreams of and fears. To all DMs reading this, players like Jerry are rare gems. They push their creativity and make you push your own boundaries. Embrace such players for making sessions far more amazing than I ever wanted them to be. What do you think? Was Jerry an ingeniously creative player, or just a DM's ongoing challenge? Have you ever had such unexpected or cunning moves in your games? Share your stories of times when you've been awestruck or outwitted, whether by other players or by a cunning DM, in the comments below. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel, All Things D&D. Stay tuned for more amazing Dungeons & Dragons content every Tuesday.